Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It is good to be able to bless the Lord. Most of the time we're asking God to bless us, but we come to the place to where we know God has blessed us through the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the application of that blood by the Holy Spirit of God, who will never leave us or forsake us. He has never left you one single second of your life since you have been born again. God is so good. We're having to learn to walk with God ourselves. God has taken away a lot of our comforts. You know, when the baby grows up, she has to put away the security blanket and the pacifier and learn to get along by herself, knowing that mama may be out of sight, but she's just in the other room. God is always with us, dear friend, and we need to learn to walk with God ourselves. What a merciful, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father he is. We are going back to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 1. The last lesson we had was on a fire enfolding out of Ezekiel 1 and verse 4. We only had one lesson at that time. My right knee has begun to swell and hurt. So at that time, I also found out that it broke out in shingles on that right leg. I didn't know that trauma can bring on shingles, but it does. But thank the Lord, it was just a mild case, and it's pretty much gone by now. I found out that I did have the shingle shot in 2018, and it made it just a mild case. So we still got to go to the orthopedic guys that did our replacement of our two hips, and we'll see what they're going to do about this knee. I also remember Brother Mike Conrad. He's going this coming Thursday to find out about his possible hip replacement. So we thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have to be able to bring you these messages. And got a stool behind us. We can sit down if we have to, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is the glory of God. That's what we're looking at, Ezekiel chapter number 1. Ezekiel is in Babylonian captivity. He says, I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened. Dear soul, it don't matter how much bondage you're in, how much aggravation the devil is bringing on you, how much aggravation your flesh is causing you, it doesn't mean that God can't come to you and speak to you. You don't have to be in an idealistic circumstance. Moses was told, take your shoes off. This is the holy ground when this bush was burning. Great, wonderful. We like times like that. But even in unholy ground, as we might say here, in Babylon, here he's the priest, Ezekiel. It says in verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. And God's going to upgrade him from priest to a prophet. And so how does he do that? By revealing himself to Ezekiel. And that's what God does to us. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, is how the book of the Revelation starts off. And therefore, God give us a manifestation of Christ, and to know him is to have salvation and have proof of our righteousness in Christ. Verse 3, Ezekiel chapter 1. This is the second lesson on a fire enfolding. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. And we know that in Acts chapter 2, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind came out of the north. Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the sides of the north to show that I am God. So this was a manifestation of God coming from his particular place, as we see in the scriptures. And there came out of the north a great cloud of glory, whirlwind of the moving and manifestation of God, the word of God, the spirit of God, the wind of God, all the same. and a fire enfolding itself. And we learn that that word enfolding has to do with it being able to receive and to accept itself. Those are the two Hebrew, those are the two English words that this word is also translated into. The Hebrew word translated here, enfolding, is translated elsewhere as accepting and receiving. And we said and made a statement to you that God in his essence is unknowable. That's true. Dear soul, John chapter 1 and verse 14, no man has seen God at any time. That's what the book said. John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You look up that phrase, he hath declared him, means he hath brought him out into the open to where he can be seen. Everything we know about God is that which we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in God? Believe also in me. I and the Father are one. To know me is to know God. So we see that God is unknowable in his essence. Only God can know himself. So this is a fire enfolding. And the fire, we learned, Hebrews 12, 29, our God is a consuming fire. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 24, where that verse comes from, our God is a consuming fire, comma, even a jealous God. And that jealousy is Exodus 34:14 says, my name is jealousy. So that jealousy is pure and holy and glorious. It's not vindictive and mean and bitter and unkind and suspicious, like carnal jealousy between people. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. That's good. That means the spirit of love and spirit of God was in him for those people. So God is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire. He is constantly burning. He is never, there's never a burning out. There's never, in him is no darkness at all. He is that flaming life and purity and glory and jealousy and holiness and love. And he said, and I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. Again in Acts chapter 2, suddenly there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And there sat upon each of them cloven tongues of fire. Same God manifesting himself actually in Acts chapter 2 in the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. This is what we're seeing here. This is God manifesting himself in the old economy to the priest Ezekiel, and manifesting himself in ways that we are thankful to God that we can have some understanding of God. And he says, a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall have the light of life. Listen. A brightness was about it, out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. So we're going to see this color of amber is one of the things that we need to see. It is the understanding of the man that they saw that is above the throne, above the firmament, on the throne. And he says in verse 26 of this chapter, Ezekiel 1:26, above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Here, above all understanding and consciousness of God, before there was the manifestation of Jesus Christ come to say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, there was a throne. And it says, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. This is a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is as clear as it gets in the old economy. We see through a glass darkly in the old economy. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come and he has brought righteousness and life and godliness to life before us and manifested God unto us. Have I been so long with you, Philip, and thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Wonderful. This is the mystery of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. And he said, and I saw, I'm reading verse 27 of Ezekiel 1, and I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. The brightness of amber was the manifestation of the man on the throne. It was the glory. Read on. Ezekiel 1:28. And the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The amber represents the glory of the Lord. It is the makeup of that one who sat upon the throne above the firmament, sitting on the sapphire pavement, the throne above it, not yet made manifest. Suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Why was there suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host? Because as yet they had never laid eyes upon the physical being of God himself. And they wanted to come and see this great thing that God hath done. And so the angels crowded around to see, and Peter said, the gospel is those things which the angels desire to look into. So we're very blessed, dear soul, that we, not with physical eye, who having not seen, we love. I have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am born again. I am a child of God because I have seen him. What do you mean? I mean by the eye of faith. How do we see God? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God. How do you see that which is invisible? By the eye of faith. How do you get the eye of faith? It is the gift of God. God has granted us faith. God has granted us redemptive grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So to be able to have an inner awareness and a revelation and a manifestation and a consciousness of God in our lives is a glory, dear soul, beyond anything man can imagine. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. Dear soul, to have this is beyond a wealth, beyond treasures, glorious, that we can see the Lord high and lifted up. And when you see him, Isaiah said, I saw myself. All right, verse number 28 again. Let's finish out. Ezekiel 1:28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. The revelation of God is by the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who of the Trinity fits that description? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the I Am. He is the expression of God. And he is the man sitting upon the throne, who is the color of brightness of amber. Amber represents the glory of God. You can see that in the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was transfigured among Moses and Elijah and Peter and James and John, and said his brightness of the noonday sun. He let the inner glory of God shine through not only his flesh, but through his garment, through his clothing. He manifested himself in his glory that they might see and understand and perceive, and put the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, together with the New Testament, Peter and James and John, and blend them together and say, the scriptures are they which testify of me. Everything you've ever seen in the Old Testament that had to do with the glory of God is me. Everything that you can see and perceive and understand and have revealed to you by the Holy Spirit through faith in the New Testament is me. Christ is everything we should seek for in the scriptures. Dear souls, you get off into doctrine, and we should worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm not against doctrine. I'm studying there all the time. I want to know more. But dear soul, if you get off into systematic theology, you will leave Christ. Christ is our justification. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our holiness. Christ is our sanctification. Jesus Christ is all and in all. He is the manifestation of the glory of God. So Ezekiel the priest in Babylonian captivity by the river Chebar has God's hand upon him, and the revelation of God's glory comes unto him. And it's similar, if not identical, to the revelation of God at Pentecost as listed in Acts chapter 2. A rushing mighty wind. Ezekiel saw a whirlwind. There was cloven tongues of fire that fell upon the apostles. This is a fire enfolding itself. God is always like himself. And we need to look at this. You say, it's difficult. I don't understand it. You shouldn't be approaching it with your understanding. You can't figure out God. I can't understand God. I receive him by faith. Isn't that what he said? The just shall live by Bible understanding? Theological interpretation? No, faith. That's what God gave us. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Every single soul in eternal glory right now, in the presence of God Almighty, redeemed and having done with the world, and having come into the presence of God, it is there by one thing. They may not have had a Bible. They may not have ever seen a Bible. They may not have ever been a member of a local church. But the one thing that they have in common is God granted them faith. That's how they got there, faith. God manifested himself to them by faith. Now, verse number 5. Let's reread 4. Ezekiel 1:4. And I looked. Are you looking? And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. It is roaring, it is enfolding, it is rolling, and it can only be known completely and absolutely by itself. Only God can understand and know God. But we thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and has shown us the Father by faith. That's what we're seeing here. It's not that difficult. Yes, it's in language that we are not familiar with. It's in a location. I don't know where, what Ezekiel had for breakfast that morning. I don't know what he looked like. I don't know what kind of clothes he wore. I don't know what the sound of his voice was or what the language he spoke, how it sounded to my ears. But, dear soul, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I met Ezekiel today, he and I would be able to fellowship because of this one person, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He sees him like this. It counts. It's real. He came to know God. I didn't have this experience. But having read of Ezekiel's experience and having had the Holy Spirit teach us, we can see that his experience is no different than our experience. It's just proclaimed in a very different way. Why not? It was a different world. Redemption had not yet been accomplished. Incarnation had not happened yet. The Lord Jesus Christ had not become man yet. And the Holy Spirit had been, this is entirely different as far as the makeup of it, but it's exactly the same according to the one that made it up, the Lord God Almighty. Ezekiel's God is your God. Ezekiel's faith is your faith. Ezekiel's experience is your experience. There's just one narrow way and one straight gate, and everybody that comes to God enters therein. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man. That includes Ezekiel. That includes Isaiah. That includes David. That includes Samuel. Everybody that's ever come to God has come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if and since you have come to God, you cannot come by any other way than the way Ezekiel came. But it's expressed differently. That's not strange. Dear soul, I had the opportunity to go to Central America on a, quote, mission trip many decades ago. And it was all quite different. They spoke different. They dressed different. I could listen to the songs as I sat in their assembly. And I could hear them singing at the cross where I first saw the light. But I didn't recognize a single word they were saying. It was all in Spanish. But I knew the tune. And my heart was singing along with them in English. Not out loud. But in my heart. It is the same God. There is no other way but this. This is that can be understood. Don't close your mind to it. Don't say it's too difficult, it's too confusing. Then you're blaming God and saying Jesus is too confusing and too difficult. Oh, I would never say that. Well, then open up your heart to this and say, this brother has spent a lifetime of studying the scriptures and he's been given the gift of opening the scriptures for me. I'm going to take advantage of it. That's what you need to do. I don't care where you are. Whether you're sitting on your couch watching your TV, you're still in your pajamas, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether we're sitting here on these purple benches with our Sunday go to meeting clothes on. It's the same God. And we need to be careful that we receive that which God has given us. Listen. Verse number 5, Ezekiel 1. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. If there's anything that I really am jealous for you to be sure and get in this lesson and in this chapter, there are two things. I want you to see the color of amber. And understand, as we've already told you, The color of amber represents the glory of God. God is not seen here without his glory, the color of amber. But secondly, what we just read, God is not seen here without the likeness of the four living creatures that has to do with the likeness of a man. God is manifesting himself as God. And number one, we see him in his glory, that color of amber. And number two, we see that he is not manifesting himself without his elect that were in Christ from the foundation of the world. At the very beginning of this chapter, at the very beginning of this book, we see in, before we have gone but five verses, the Lord is manifesting himself with the inclusion of these living creatures. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is not strange to us. We call ourselves new creatures, new creations in Christ Jesus. That's what this is. It's not that strange, folks. Listen. Out of the midst of this fire enfolding itself came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Now in verse 5, the likeness of a man. Verse number 8, they had the hands of a man. And in verse number 10, they four had the face of a man. And in verse number 26, on the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. God is manifesting himself not without his elect people, but also not without the revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the man whose loins upward and loins downward are the color of amber. He is the glory of God. We see him sitting on his throne. But these are the four living creatures representing the life of God in the soul of man. God, at the very outset, manifests himself not without his elect people. Ephesians chapter 1. You see, dear soul, the Bible cannot be broken. It is always the same. And it does not contradict itself. When people say it contradicts itself, it's because they do not understand the scripture. It cannot contradict itself. So here is God at the very outset expressing himself in the land of Babylon by the river of Chebar to the priest Ezekiel and manifesting himself in his glory, the color of amber, manifesting himself along with the four living creations. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Listen, so at the very outset, God is not manifest without his elect people. He sees the fire. Check. Got it. Yep. He hears the whirlwind. Yep. Understand that. But he is manifesting himself along with his four living creatures representing the life of God in the soul of man. You say, well, that's strange. No, it's not. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ezekiel was in this heavenly place. Heaven was open, and he was seeing things that God would have him see. Listen. In heavenly places in Christ. Christ was not far away. Ezekiel 1:26, the man sitting on the throne was the revelation of Jesus Christ prior to his incarnation. Ephesians 1:4, according as he, God the Father, has chosen us in him, God the Son, listen, before the foundation of the world. When as yet there had not been the words, let there be, light or whatever, God had his elect people chosen in his Son, and the world had not had a foundation as of yet. Look with me to Revelation. Hold your place. Revelation 13 and verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. How could God the Father set his love upon us from the foundation of the world? Because God the Son, the Lamb of God, had stepped down in subordination so that God could have his love set upon his people. Jesus Christ was already, as far as God is concerned, and it doesn't have to have occurred for it to be in God, because he says, I am that I am. I am being that which I am being. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, before time, today, during time, and forever, in eternity. The same. I am the Lord, I change not. So we see that here God is manifesting himself in amber, in his glory. But God is not manifesting himself to Ezekiel in his glory apart from the four living creatures being with him. God, when we first come to know him, the first glimpse we have of God is of a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Why is he as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world? So that the redeemed of God can be presented to God by the washing of the blood of the Lamb of God and can be presented to him to his satisfaction. Again, Ephesians chapter 1. The last word in verse 3 is Christ. Verse 4. According as he, God the Father, has chosen us in him, God the Son, before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. Don't let that word scare you. Predestination is just love before time. There wasn't an angel to flap his wings yet. There wasn't an angel to sing a hallelujah to God. There wasn't anything but God. But, dear soul, there was that determination of God within himself that he would have his elect people and none of them should ever perish. And the Son agreed with the Father, and he stepped down, as it were, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the Holy Ghost said, I'll seal it up. Dear soul, listen, if you're born again, really, truly, honestly, if you really are born again, if you are really, truly a Christian, you have some pre-foundation work done by the triune God. God the Father elected, God the Son redeemed, and God the Holy Spirit sealed. Let's read it. According as he has chosen us in him, Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're included in that fire. You throw us in the fire, we don't burn. Why? Because the fourth man in the fire is likened to the Son of God. And we have the fire to try our works. And if it is hay, wood, and stubble, it's burned up. But since it's gold and silver and precious stone, it's purified and made more glorious. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's meant to have the fire put to you. You are to be presented as God is in the holy fire, as yourselves in the holy fire. The trials and afflictions of life are called fiery trials. What do? They burn off the carnality. They burn off the dross. They burn off the carnal practice of religion where we took pride and never did come to God. We just came to our program. We had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. So God puts us in these fires to consume all of that. And I know there are people that are members of this church that are disappointed in me. I understand that. But I want to stand here and be faithful to God on your behalf so that you might quit playing around with churchianity and come to Christ. You say, I already have come to Christ. I'm a Christian. Yeah, but are you an immature Christian? Do you still need your pacifier and your security blanket? Do you still whine and carry on and get depressed because you don't seem to have the awareness of God in a sense of His presence? Do you still need church and the body of believers? Or can you survive with Christ alone? That's where you are. God said, I had enough of this. I'm going to separate you unto myself. And dear soul, what is that you've been praying all your Christian life? Lord, I want to be closer to Thee, just a closer walk with Thee. And God said, okay. So now He's doing it, and then you're complaining about it. Quit complaining about it. Find the Lord in this time, in this day and age. Come to the Lord. Come unto me, all you that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, not the church's practice of traditional religion, but my yoke. Get in the yoke with Christ. Become a yoke fellow with Christ. Learn to pray and to be able to talk with Him. And you sang the song, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me, but really? Wasn't that just that warm, fuzzy feeling you had as you looked at the others and smiled and saying, yeah, we're walking with Jesus? Now God's saying, okay, let me get rid of some of this gristle and fat and bone and trim you down a little bit like a butcher trims down a steak. Let me get you down to the place to where you really are dependent upon nothing and no one but God Himself. Can you do it? Are you really a Christian, or are you just a church member? God have mercy. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, we have done many wonderful works in Thy name. And I shall say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How can they be called workers of iniquity when they spent their whole life in church? Because they spent their whole life in church and never came to Christ. God have mercy. Having predestinated us, marked off ahead of time, Ezekiel hears the enfolding fire of God, God knowing Himself as no one else can know Him, but not without the four living creatures in the midst of it. Not without you being chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. Not without you understanding and knowing that Jesus Christ was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Dear soul, you need to come to Christ. You say, well, I am a Christian. Well, come to Christ. Are you still coming to your favorite little books, you know, your devotion books, and tell Christ, I'll see you later. I got to read this devotion. Dear soul, when he came home from the army and his foot hit the front porch, she didn't say, well, stay right there and lock the screen door and say, don't come in because this is the time I go every day and read your letters. She tore the screen door down trying to get to him. Dear soul, there comes a time when you have studied enough, you have not learned enough. It's now time to walk with your lover. Tear the screen door down and come to Christ. God have mercy. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Listen at verse 6 of Ephesians 1. To the praise of the glory of his grace. The glory of God, the amber. The glory of God that was seen in that fire unfolding itself is God's. It takes place in God's predestinating and his choosing and chosen us in him, in Christ, from the foundation of the world. This is not all that different. The color amber is there. It's the glory of God. The four living creatures are in the midst of the fire. We are predestinated and chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world to the praise of the glory of his grace. Secondly, Ephesians 1:7, in whom in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. I don't understand it. You never will. God did it because he wanted to. God did it for his glory. Why does God love you? Because God loves you. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Watch it now. We found out that the Father elected to the praise of the glory of his grace in verse 6. Listen at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Christ redeemed us for the praise of his glory. Thirdly, verse 13 of Ephesians 1, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. God the Father, verse 6, unto the praise of his glory. God the Son, verse number 12, unto the praise of his glory. God the Holy Spirit sealed us in verse number 13, verse 14, unto the praise of his glory. The fire enfolding itself with amber is God's glorious manifestation of himself, but not without the four living creatures being right in the middle of it. Is that so hard to understand? The reason people don't understand Ephesians chapter 1 is because they don't know the gospel. They think the gospel is, well, one day I found out I might go to hell, so I made a choice and I chose Jesus. That ain't the gospel. That's the lie of the devil. The gospel is God the Father electing us in God the Son redeeming us for his own glory, and God the Holy Spirit sealing us for his own praise and glory. You wasn't saved to keep you out of hell. You were saved for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. What is sin? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have come short of God's glory. That's the reason we don't understand Ezekiel 1. We don't understand that God is unknowable except unto himself and those to whom he reveals in Christ. And that God, when he manifests himself in such a marvelous way of a fire enfolding itself with the color of amber, the glory of God, and the four living creatures right in the middle of it. Dear soul, we don't understand God because we don't understand love. We understand lust, and that's what we call love, but it's not. Well, why did y'all get a divorce? Well, we just fell out of love. We just don't feel like we used to. Well, for about 9 weeks, you couldn't keep your hands off one another. But you finally, you know, satisfied yourself enough to where you said, well, what else is there? Well, now I got to hold her hair while she throws up in the commode. Well, that ain't the picture I want, you know, of marriage. Well, I got to take care of him while he whines and carries on, you know, about a backache. He don't show me any love and appreciation for what I do, and she don't seem to think I'm anything but a meal ticket. That ain't love. We don't understand love because we don't have love. Dear soul, to have love, you have to have God. And God's love seeketh not its own. You can't find one person in 10 billion on this earth that's not out for theirself. That's the reason these marriages don't work, because both of them want to be worshiped instead of the other. Instead of wanting to serve and to show love by giving, they want to show lust by taking. And we're in a mess. And because we don't understand and know love, we don't understand and can't know God in Ezekiel chapter 1. Listen. He says in verse 5, out of the midst thereof came the likeness, this is Ezekiel 1:5, of the four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. That's election in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ezekiel, what are you doing? Well, I'm over here in Babylon. What are you doing in Babylon? Well, I'll tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not able to go down to the tabernacle. I'm not able to go down to the temple. I'm not able to offer sacrifices. I'm not able to read the law. I'm not able to have the holy days and involve myself, in the people with those things that God hath determined to Moses. I'm over here in Babylon. Why do you think you're in Babylon? Because we got so involved with our religion that we left God out. Now you don't have any religion. You don't have a temple. You don't have an altar. You know, you don't have a holy of holies to go into. You don't have the hierarchy of the prophet, priest, and king, and so forth. It's just you now. And God said, okay, now let's see if he can understand what I've been trying to say to him. It reminds me of the child on Christmas Day that has finally opened all the presents, and you come back into the room later in the day, and there's the child playing with the box the toy came in. We have made too much to do about religion and religious practice and have not made anything to do like we should of God who gave us these things. Salvation is knowing the Lord, that they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's salvation. Now listen. Verse 6 of Ezekiel 1. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Everybody is saved in the exact same way, but no two Christians are exactly alike. Paul takes that up in the 12th and 13th, 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Are you a hand, part of the body? Then you can't say to the eye, because you're not the hand, you're not part of the body. Did you know that the heart involves itself with blood? Yes, I knew that. And the lungs involves itself with oxygen and air? Yep. Yet those two things, separate from one another, are essential for both of them to get along. The heart must have oxygen. And the lungs must have the blood flow through it to give it life-giving sustenance. You can't allow oxygen and air to get into the heart
And you can't allow blood to get into the lungs. Dear soul, we are what we are by the grace of God. There are four faces to these creatures. They're different, but they're exactly alike. They're all in Christ Jesus. I have planted, Apollos watered, and Christ gives the increase. Don't say I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos or I'm of Peter. You say I'm of Christ. Well, we like our flavor of religion. Well, then you may not have anything but that religion. Well, we're Church of God of Prophets. What does that mean? I don't know. We're just Church of God. Yeah, but we're Baptists. Yeah, but we're Methodists. Yeah. You know, we're Pentecostal. We're Presbyterian. Where do we get all that stuff? There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of us all. One. That's it. And we need to get back to God, folks, and quit playing around with denominationalism and churchianity. They didn't save you, and that's not what your identity is. If that's all the identity me and you have, we are on our way to hell on the broad way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby ye must be saved. What name is that? The name which is above every name in this world and also in the worlds to come. The Lord Jesus Christ, come unto me. You come to me. That's what he's saying. Listen. Verse 7, Ezekiel 1. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Surely you can't say that's got anything to do with my salvation. Really? Would you read me Psalm 18 and verse 34? Psalm 18 and verse 34. Is that what I want? Nope, it ain't what I want. I want that verse where it talks about he hath made my feet like hinds' feet. And which means that the word hind is a deer. It means I've swift of foot. I'm sure of foot. And verse 33, I'm sorry. Psalm 18 and verse 33. I don't know why I do that to myself, to keep myself humble and make you understand that, dear soul, if you don't have God as your pastor, you're in trouble. Psalm 18 and verse 33. Listen. He maketh, let me read verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Now, Psalm 18, 33. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Now, these deer were so sure-footed, they could leap upon one place, a ledge, to another and not falter and not fail, but continue to climb. David saw that. He said, that's how God has dealt with me. He's caused me to be able to walk with him through all kinds of trials and heartaches and uneven ground. I'm to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Well, what represents that here in Ezekiel? A calf. A calf is an object of sacrifice. It is to be brought to the altar and to be slaughtered and the blood to be presented to God. So he said that their feet were like calves' feet. That's not strange to us. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. We are to walk in the Spirit so that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how can you walk in the Spirit if you're walking like some cocky, you know, animal thinking you're the greatest thing? But walk like a calf on the way to the slaughter. Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. My feet are like hinds' feet. My feet are like calves' feet. I understand and know that Jesus Christ must receive all the glory. I understand and know that all the sin is mine. All the righteousness is Christ. So I bow my unworthy head and I bow myself before God and say, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as only one of thy hired servants. And we come in an awareness of sacrificial walking, living sacrifices. This is not strange. This is the Bible. This is the scriptures. These are the instructions from God himself. Verse 7, Ezekiel 1. Their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled with the color of burnished brass. There's that glory again, polished brass. That glory, that amber, that brightness. And then verse 8, and they had the hands of a man. God is presenting himself to Ezekiel both as unknowable God and unquenchable fire, but not without the inclusion of the four living beasts that are within him, and making you understand and know that God has come nigh to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and he brings us nigh to him in the person of the Holy Spirit. And dear soul, you say, I want to know God. This is what the way it is. Bow your soul in submissive obedience to Christ. Walk with God in quiet and humble spirit. Walk with an understanding that my feet are like calves' feet. Where are you headed? Going to the altar. What are you going to do there? There's only one thing you do at that altar. Die. Dying with Jesus through death reckoned mine, living with Jesus a new life divine. That's how it has to be. Paul said, always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand and know, dear soul, that we must walk in humility before Almighty God. So the Lord was presenting to Ezekiel long before Ephesians was written, long before you had a Bible study every Thursday night in the basement of the church about Christianity and about how we need to walk with God and what the cross was all about and sacrificial living and living sacrifice. This is God manifesting the same exact thing. I'm reading it in English. I understand the words. But it is expressing it in such a way as that I am not familiar with. Why? Because it's talking to a Hebrew, talking to a Hebrew in the land of Babylon hundreds of years ago in ways that only existed up to that time. He had not yet come to where we are. 2,000 years plus. In the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ that was established and set forth on Pentecost, but it's the same exact thing because it's the same exact God, and I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can understand this. We can benefit by it. We can go back and sit down with our brother Ezekiel and say, this dear brother is opening up the scriptures to us. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm laboring to do. It doesn't matter, dear soul, that my poor old leg is swollen and that it's painful and it's painful to stand here. I'm going to do it because God has given me this and I want you to have it and God wants you to have it. And dear soul, if God goes to all the trouble to raise up some ignorant mill village son like me to bring you this, you need to make sure you don't drop the ball and not receive it. He that knew his father's, knew the master's will and did it not, shall be beaten with many stripes. Be careful. You're getting great light. You need to meditate. You need to pray. You need to seek God's face. You need to cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on me. Dear soul, this is soul food, soul nourishment. This is God presenting to you in a different way. You had always known your parents as your parents when you were young. But one day you went to school where your mother worked as the principal of that school. And you all of a sudden were not her full attention. She had all the students in that school and all the teachers, the janitors and the coaches and everybody else she had to take care of. And you saw your mama in a different light. And it kind of hurt your feelings. And she said, sit right here in my office. I've got things I got to do. You just wait right here and then we'll go home. And, you know, then you can have her back again as just mom. Dear soul, God is presenting himself to you. And you need to grow up and accept God for who he is presenting himself as in this. You saw your daddy, and he was just your daddy. He was throwing the football to you. He was throwing the baseball to you. He was playing with you. Your mama was swinging you on the swings and paying attention to you and taking care of you and putting a Band-Aid on your boo-boo and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, you went to work with your daddy, and he put on a badge and had a policeman's hat on and had a gun on his hip, and you all of a sudden were not as important as you thought you was. Yes, that's still my daddy. Yes, that's still my mother. But they are more than what I narrowly perceive and conceive them to be. Dear soul, God is sovereign over hell. God is in charge of Satan and all the demons. God is sovereign over the entire world right now. Do you realize how many billions of people are in eternity with God right now? Whether in redemptive grace or in damnation. Where are those people? Where are all those people? All those different ones that you studied about in history, they're all in the presence of God. God is bigger than what me and you could perceive him to be. Yes, he's a personal savior. Yes, we don't want to lose that. Yes, he will never change from that, but yet he's more than that. This is presenting God in what we might term a foreign presentation. I don't know where the river Chebar is. I don't know what it was like in Babylon. I don't know how he didn't get killed when they slaughtered so many people in Israel and in Jerusalem when they took them all captive. How did he get there? How long did it take him to walk to get there? Where does he live? What's his housing like? How does he have any food? What's going on? I don't know. But it's the same God. Wake up and understand that God is greater than what our little old narrow-minded understanding and need of him has ever presented to us. He told Peter, he said, I have another flock that I'm going to bring in. That must have sounded strange to Peter. Our time is gone. My goodness, our time is gone. We'll try to get back into this more in the second lesson. I thank you for your prayers. I'm doing all I can to shake you up, to stir you up, and to get you ready for that trumpet to blow, because it's fixing to blow at any day now, and we're all going to be plunged in the presence of the eternal glory of Jesus Christ in a day when you think not the Son of Man coming. I am trying to help you in these last hours to get yourself personally ready to meet your God. God bless you.